This morning, in turning to God's Word, we refer to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. And verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This psalm's title indicates its authorship, the Psalm of David. It is thought that perhaps David wrote this when in some quiet place he reflected upon the greatness of his God. And you'll see that the psalmist considers three special attributes of God. In verses 1 to 6, his omniscience, that he knows everything. Thou hast known me, thou art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Omniscience. And secondly, omnipresence, from verse 7 through to 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is everywhere. And thirdly, omnipotence. From verse 13 to verse 16. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. No other can create after this fashion, and no other can bestow life as God does. He is all-powerful, omnipotent. And then come the words which I've chosen this morning as a text, verses 17 and 18. One commentator says that the consciousness of the intimate personal relation between God and man, which is characteristic of the whole Psalter, reaches its climax here. I want to draw from these two words, two verses, three headings, or I want to make of the thoughts expressed here, three headings. The first is this: he thinks of us. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. He thinks of us. God has thoughts. Let me begin there. He is therefore not an impersonal something. He is our personal God. A machine has no thoughts. But our God has thoughts. His personal name given to Moses is I Am, Jehovah. It was not and never shall be, it is. I, the personal God. As a person, a divine person, He has all the characteristics of personality. He wills. Scripture speaks of the will of the Lord being done. He loves. Jacob have I loved. God so loved. And that is why we are able to know. That is why we are able to know him in a personal way. In a vital relationship. The way in which we cannot know a robot or a sophisticated machine. But the scripture says, all shall know me. And that knowledge is not a gathering of information about him, but it is experimental knowledge. It is the knowledge of encounter, the knowledge of experience. To know him is the greatest blessing in this world. Our Savior said, to know him is eternal life. Because heaven itself is drawing near to God and communing with God and appreciating God in all his glory. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Eternal are these thoughts towards us. It was in eternity that he planned for our earthly good and for our heavenly happiness. The scriptures speak of God's thoughts being from eternity. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He loved us with an everlasting love. As old John Trapp, the Puritan, says, he first chose his love, and then he loved his choice. Even from eternity then, he loved us. Hence, the words which we find in Scripture, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And in that eternity past, God not only thought of us kindly, and in a distinguishing manner, but he thought of us with a view to our life on earth, determining the number of our days, determining where would be our habitation, determining also what would be our everlasting destiny, chosen unto salvation, and determining also what that salvation would contain for us. I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. He had thoughts of us from before the foundation of the world, and he has thoughts of us in this world at the present time. He knows all about us. Because he thinks of us continually. Psalm 103 declares that he remembers that we are dust. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Pitiful love. pitiful thoughts. Even now, he knows. He knows all about us. The first verse of this psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And he knows our circumstance, where we are, the way providence is leading us. Remember Job? In the time of his trouble, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, he shall bring me forth as gold. He knows. And you know that is no small comfort. That this blessed God knows what is in our hearts, and he knows what is in our lives. And he can sympathize because he knows. He can identify with us in our affliction. He can feel with us our several and many distresses. Such a sweet word was spoken in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 7. And the Lord God said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for, here it is, I know their sorrows. Sometimes we lack the understanding of others, and we lack their support because they don't really discern what is our problem and what makes up our sorrow. But he knows. He knows. I know their sorrows. And one feels in reading that, that God not only knows it as a fact, but he knows it in a way as a grief. In all of their afflictions, he is afflicted. He knows to the point of being moved. He knows in that it stirs his heart. That is a great comfort. One which was alluded to by our Lord in the great Sermon on the Mount, when he says to his disciples at one place there in Matthew 6, your heavenly Father knows what things ye have need of. Tremendous consolation. He knows. I think of the words of the psalmist at the end of Psalm 40. The psalm bears witness to some of the troubles through which David has passed, and at the end of the psalm, the very last verse, he says this, I am poor and needy. I'm reduced in circumstance. I am in condition pitiable. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He has the thoughts of God. He may be ignored by men and women. He may be totally rejected by them, but he has God thinking of him all the time. Thou art my help and my deliverer. if I have to go through this present trouble, that God who knows what it's like will help me. And when the time is right, that God will deliver me and set me free. My help and my deliverer, He has thoughts of us as God, thoughts from eternity, thoughts in time. What thoughts? And His thoughts toward us are not like our thoughts towards others. His thoughts are very different from human thoughts. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. There is no one who thinks for the troubled and the afflicted as I think for them. I think compassionate thoughts. That is why it is written, His mercies are new every morning. The beginning of every day, He thinks of us. And His thoughts are never detached and never removed. They're never unfeeling. His mercies are felt and expressed every morning. They are good thoughts. Oh, we could understand if His thoughts were contrary to us, severe upon us, because of what we are and what we do. But what does the Word of God say? I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an end and an expectation. Jeremiah 29. They are constant thoughts. The prophet Isaiah in the 49th chapter puts the question, can a woman forget her child, her sucking child? He answers in the affirmative. It is possible for her to forget her child, yet God, he says, will never forget thee. Thy woes are continually before him. Thy name is written upon the palms of his hand. Do you know what that means? When you don't want to forget something, even as a human being, and if you're particularly forgetful, then you might write something on your hand. Door key. Car key, or whatever. Why do you write it there? So that whatever you're doing, it will serve to remind you of what you might forget. God, Isaiah 49, has engraven us on the palms of his hands. So whatever this sovereign God does in heaven and in earth, he's always being reminded of you and of me. For that reason, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Because whatever God is doing, he has us in his mind. Therefore, it is all conducive to our happiness, and it is all laid up for our benefit. And of course, these thoughts are upon us not simply to be compassionate and good and constant, but they are there in God that He might appear for us. It's not a theoretical academic exercise that God takes account of us, but His eyes, we read, run to and fro on the earth. And this for a reason. And the reason is that He may show Himself strong for His people. The eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. He notices us, and He studies our case so that He might afford help, give a refuge, effect a salvation for us. It is essentially practical. So what is your state this morning? Well, let me just seek to imagine what it might be. Maybe this morning you're in a fallen state. You've sinned again. You've brought yourself low and into shame and dishonor. What does God think of you now? Well, believer, God thinks mercy, and He thinks pardon. In that chapter of Isaiah to which I've referred, it says this: let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. He thinks in terms of pity. He thinks in terms of remission. He thinks in terms of restoring to you the blessings you in your folly have forfeited. Those are the thoughts. Perhaps your case this morning is that you're suffering deeply, and you are pained in heart. What are His thoughts? His thoughts to you in that state are thoughts of loving kindness, thoughts of tender mercy. What does the scripture say? Isaiah 63:7, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them and carried them all of the days of old. You're down. You know self-pity. You know great pain of heart and heartache. And how does this affect God, your God? He is moved by it. He is not insensitive to it. He's not unaffected by it. The loving kindness of God is directed to you. Maybe you're confused, bewildered at the way Providence has taken you of late. What are his thoughts to one in such a state? His thoughts are thoughts most practical and helpful in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thoughts whereby he thinks of guiding you in the way. Ways of pleasantness, paths of peace. He thinks on us, whatever our condition. Whatever our need, he thinks appropriately upon us. Never a bad thought, ever a good thought. And in his thoughts, when they are directed to you, he recalls his love for you. Yea, he loved the people. He recalls his covenant that he's bound to you as a man to his wife. He is your God. He remembers his covenant. And in his thoughts, he brings up also the thought of a relationship with you. These shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. Those are the thoughts which God sends to you. They are loving thoughts. They are covenant thoughts. They are the thoughts born of commitment and relationship that, all else failing, God will not fail. He is your God. And he is with you. And he knows how to strengthen you, and he knows how to comfort you, and he knows how to help you, and he knows how to deliver you. He thinks of all these things. And when his wisdom directs him, he will do what is in his mind. And he will meet your need. How precious to know this. How precious to be aware of his thoughts. And they're not thoughts now and then, here and there. How great is the sum of them? They fill every hour, every minute, every second. He thinketh upon us. Remember Peter's word. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And such is his care as to be better than the care of a friend, better even than the care of a Christian. It is the care of God Most High. He careth. He careth for you. It says in the book of Genesis, and God remembered Noah, and that he does all the time. He remembers us. Is he not distracted, diverted in all his works of providence? No. He remembers us in our need. And he thinks of us. We write a letter of condolence, a letter of sympathy, and often we don't quite know what to say, but we perhaps resort to this. Thinking of you means a lot. But when God sends us a card from heaven, which he does in his word, and he says, thinking of you means everything. Everything. He thinks of us. Secondly, we think of him. See, that's what David is doing here. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And he thinks a little more and he says, how great is the sum of them. And then he says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. He's thinking of the thoughts of God, the nature of them, and the blessedness of them. He thinks of us. We think of him. Now, our thoughts have been described as the noblest offspring of our soul. The soul receives impressions, and the soul expresses desire or delight or whatever it may be. They come from the soul. That is why the psalmist in Psalm 19 can speak of the meditation of our heart comes from within. Now it is right and profitable that we think about him even as he thinks about us. We are told to do that, are we not? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now thy Creator. Psalm 104, my meditation of him shall be sweet. We are told to do that. We are told to meditate day and night. And the best of saints have done that. It was true of Isaac when Eliezer was in a far country seeking his future wife, that Isaac went out into the field in Genesis 24 at the end there to meditate. Perhaps he was worried. Perhaps he was anxious what the end of these things might be, who Eliezer might bring back. He went out to exercise his heart in meditation and contemplation. In the New Testament, Mary is a wonderful example. The mother of Jesus, she pondered all these things and kept them in her heart, we read in Luke chapter 2. She thought upon things, thought upon the Lord. What is it we should think upon? Well, we think upon Him, do we not? Consider Him. What does the scripture say? We remember Him upon our bed and meditate on Him in the night watches. Psalm 63 and verse 6. Oh, sometimes when we are distraught and taken up with the cause of our pain and sorrow, what a relief to think of God, who is over all, who is with us in all our affliction, and who will afford us adequate help at all times. We think of His word to us in the Holy Scriptures. Psalm 1 speaks of the godly man as meditating in God's word day and night. When we are fain losing hold, in danger of losing our mind, oh, to ground our thoughts upon the promise of an unfailing God, I will surely bless thee, restores us to sanity and to stability. Why do we not think of His loving Christ? Paul spoke of that love to the Ephesians, that ye may know that love, he said, which passeth knowledge. The height of it, the depth of it, the length of it, the breadth of it, to know the love of Christ. In all our weakness and all our darkness, to remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of the ever blessed God, loves us, ever did, ever will, with a love that will never desert us, never let us go. We think of that. We think of heaven. When the going is rough, the way of life stony underfoot, when we are near fainting and ready to give up and give over, we think of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One day, dear troubled soul, all your burdens will be past. All your tears will be wiped from your faces. All your sorrows will be lifted from your hearts. There is a rest promised to the people of God. Rest from all the troubles and all the weariness of this world, and all the suffering we have endured. They shall rest, the scripture says. They shall rest. And then all needs will be supplied. We will never have another day of sorrow, but an eternity of joy. We shall never be pinched by need. We shall have access to abundant supply, and we shall be as blessed as a human soul can be blessed by God Almighty. Oh, think of that. We think of Him in His heaven. He thinks of us. We think of Him. That's what it's like. The Lord and His people, I mean. He's always minding them. And if it would be well with them, they should always mind Him. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore I shall not be moved. At the end of the text, just one word more. When I awake, I am still with thee. Such are his thoughts that he draws near. All the time I lose consciousness, he's at my bedside. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And when I awake, he's still where he was, to go with me into the day, to protect me from evil, to guide me in the way that I should take, to support me in the moment of weakness, to assure me when I doubt, to comfort me when I grieve, to afford me friendship when I'm lonely. He's there at the beginning of the day to walk with me and talk with me throughout the day. Why is he there? Because his first thought today was of me and of you. And he'll be thinking of you through the coming hours and to the end of the day. And that is why, believer, he's still with you. And you are still with him. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Therefore all is not lost. All shall be well. God is with you. Amen.